Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning and good afternoon. My name is Boy Lawson. This is the Liberty Newscast Midday Edition. Thank you ever so much for tuning in on Blog Talk Radio and in the Google Hangout. Or if you're watching on YouTube later, we appreciate all the ways that you have made yourself available to truth and liberty. And speaking of that, we've got some interesting stories today on the Liberty News. .com website. If you haven't gone to the LibertyNews.com website, today is your day. Today is your day because it's free. Okay, it's always been free. But it's the idea is it's time for you to get there. It's time for you to find a website, to find a medium by which you can get all the news that you need to hear. That you need to hear freedom and liberty based reporting and bringing you stories in a way that you need to understand. It's very, very, it's very, 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 very important that you do that. So if you're listening right now on Blog Talk Radio, whether you're listening live or whether you're listening in archive, we're going to open the chat room here. Whether you're listening live or listening in archives, I think it's important that you go to libertynews.com right now. All one word, libertynews.com, and bookmark the page. Explore all of it. All the things across the top, explore all of it, because you'll find that even in the archives, there's some information that might have not been reported by mainstream media, maybe because it doesn't show them in the best light. Yeah, we're thinking of that, because what you have to understand now is that, and this is going to be into the foreseeable future, if mainstream media will not report anything, will not talk about anything that paints them or the regime in a bad light, and the regime isn't just the Obama administration, but the progressive regime. If it doesn't paint them in a good light, they don't report it. And if they do report it, they don't push it, because some things get out. Well, I saw that on the news. Well. You might have seen an introductory story, but likely not anything in depth. For instance, one of my television stations, WTSP, the CBS affiliate here in the Tampa area, decided that they would dedicate, this was a 13-hour filibuster in the Senate. We haven't had a filibuster since 2010, so they don't really happen all that often. But they decided they would dedicate 20 seconds to it. I timed it, 20 seconds, and maybe a little less than that. This is an historic event, 20 seconds. And that wasn't their lead story. Their lead story was something about I can't even remember what their lead story was about, but it was something local, and it was something that didn't have anything to, that wasn't nearly as historic. You know how the left likes to use that term, historic, when they're pushing crap on you, right? Oh, this is historic. Oh, Barack Obama, historic. This is historic. This is Hillary Clinton, historic. But there was something historic going on, almost the fifth longest filibuster in the nation's history, and it was happening right there. On C-SPAN and nothing, 20 seconds. So that's how they kind of do it. So that's why you need places like LibertyNews.com. That's why you need it. You're wondering, well, why do I need one more thing? This isn't just one more thing. This is something special. This is something different. This is something liberty-based. This is something freedom-based. There you go. So go ahead and go to LibertyNews.com right now and bookmark the site. You'll be happy that you did. Seriously, go ahead and bookmark it on your cell phone and your iPad and whatever tablets you use. go ahead and do that, because you want to have us with you all the time, because we want you to have all the information exactly when you need it, exactly when things are breaking. All right, listen, we'll take a little break. We'll be back after these messages. Again, thanks for coming to the Liberty Newscast, the Midday Edition. We'll be back right after this. Promise. Seriously. Promise. Be right back.
The year was 1976, and Ronald Reagan had just lost a hard-fought battle for the nomination that had reached the convention floor. This is Steve Elliott. For Reagan's team, it was a devastating defeat, made even more bitter by the fact that this was likely Reagan's last run for office. After all, by 1980, Reagan would be the oldest man ever to run and win the White House. The next day, as Gerald Ford took the stage to accept the nomination, he unexpectedly called for Reagan to join him. Chants of speech, built to a roar with each step he and Nancy took. Nancy later recalled Reagan saying to her, quote, "I haven't the foggiest idea what I'm going to say." The Gipper, having just been thrown into political exile by his own party, proceeded to deliver a stirring and impromptu speech that left many in the arena saying, "We nominated the wrong guy." As close advisor Martin Anderson recalled, Reagan, quote, "never gave up. It was this incredible crushing defeat, and it didn't crush him. He just came back up, shook his head, and said, what's next?" The Gipper spent the next 3 years primarily at his ranch in California, researching and writing radio commentaries that were broadcast across the country. For years, it was assumed that Reagan simply was the voice for those commentaries. But now we know that Reagan personally penned over 90% of the radio content broadcast following his 1976 political exile. Ronald Reagan understood the core principles of thriving in exile, to build and to plant. During this late-in-life political exile, Reagan carefully honed the principles and policies upon which the 1980 revolution was built. There's much more to Reagan's story in the pages of Thriving in Exile. If you haven't done so already, please request your two copies, because the same challenge and the same opportunity stands before us today. In the face of our current political exile, and the shrinking economy, and the rising tide of statism, and even some of our so-called friends blaming all of these problems on us, we can rise and meet the challenge and build a better future for our nation and our families. Thanks for all you are doing, and together, let's build. I'm Steve Elliott.
First, there was the Lincoln bedroom. Then there was
no controlling legal authority.
Now, there's a whole new way to buy access to the president. Introducing Organizing for Access. For just one easy payment of $500,000, you too can get the privilege of quarterly meetings with President Obama. You could even become an ambassador.
Excuse us? This just looks bad. It looks like the White House is selling access.
Don't listen to him.
They get the access while you get to write a letter.
Now, thanks to Organizing for Access, painful letter writing is a thing of the past. Why waste your money on expensive corporate lobbyists? We beat their price because we sell direct to you. But wait, you might be wondering,
I don't want somebody else pulling my strings. They write the checks and you get stuck with the bill. We've got to change how business is done in Washington.
But with Organizing for Access, change miraculously disappears. Incredible.
That suggests that access to the president is being sold.
But I would direct your questions to them.
You're not denying the point that if you give $500,000 or more to this group, you get access to the president.
I would refer you to the organization.
Wonder what candidate Obama would say about this.
I'll love you back.
Order now, and we'll throw in a private meeting with Vice President Joe Biden completely free. Or pay $1 million, and you don't have to meet with Biden. Ever.
Unchained.
Call today and become a charter member of Organizing for Access today. We accept all major credit cards, personal checks, and large sacks of cash.
They get the access while you get to write a letter.
Welcome back to the Liberty Newscast Midday Edition. My name is Willie Lawson. Thank you ever so much for coming today. A couple days ago, there was a filibuster on the Senate floor led by Senator Rand Paul. Yes, Senator Rand Paul is the son of Representative Ron Paul from Texas. Senator Rand Paul is a senator from Kentucky. And it was 13 hours. Now, I think a lot of people have misconstrued, and some of the media reports are incorrect as to the purpose of that filibuster. The purpose of that filibuster was to get an answer about the drone program. It was an opportunity that Senator Rand used during the confirmation hearings of Brennan for the CIA. It wasn't really even about Brennan and his qualifications. Senator Rand had already decided, I believe, how he was going to vote on his confirmation. I believe that Marco Rubio, who also helped in the filibuster, had already decided how he was going to vote. But it was because this filibuster wasn't about that. This was about getting an answer from the White House and the Attorney General's office about the drone program as it was going to be used by the executive branch here on American soil. That's what it was about. I think a lot of people have gotten it mixed up. This was not, I mean, if you watched any of it, the subject that wasn't brought up was Brennan. The interview, I mean, every time you saw or heard a reference to anybody, it was to the president and mainly Eric Holder, who is the Attorney General of the United States. So I think a lot of people have this in the mix. It was not about Brennan. I believe that Rand Paul had already decided that he was not going to vote to confirm Brennan for the CIA director. So it's not about that. And I think a lot of people, many people, screwed that up. But however, the fallout's been an interesting fallout. Of course, we were going to get the fallout from the left. Oh, golly, somebody else hating a black man, because that's what this is all about. Because everything that's negative with the White House is about hating a black man. It's about hating Barack Obama. It's about being racist. It's about, you know what, it's about being, you know what, Chris Matthews, and we'll hear about this later on Liberty News TV. That obviously this is, you know, the anti-government hate groups are just loving these guys, you know, Cruz, you know, Senator Cruz and Senator Paul, and it's not, wasn't about that at all. It was about getting a real answer to how the administration thought about their drone program, their domestic, and I guess it hasn't been phrased like this, their domestic drone program. We have a foreign drone program. And that has different parameters, and it has different rules of engagement. However, the domestic drone program is something else entirely. You know, Senator Cruz put it in a way that I thought was very interesting. We have a non-combatant sitting in a cafe having a cup of coffee. Does the president think that he has the right to commit a drone attack against that individual, who's an American citizen? The answer should have been no, of course not, because that would be completely unconstitutional. We would never even consider that because it's unconstitutional. But that wasn't the answer. And if that doesn't worry you, regardless of what side of the aisle you happen to be on, that you can't get a no, we won't release drone attack against Americans on American soil. What are you, crazy? That's unconstitutional. Of course not. My God, man. You know, that should have been the answer, or some answer, or some reasonable facsimile thereof. However, it was not. It was not the answer, ladies and gentlemen. It was something else completely different. It was, no, that would be appropriate. And the president, you know, basically, I didn't kill anybody yet. Here's the deal. Well, we probably wouldn't even ever do it. That was the answer. We probably wouldn't even ever do it, which means that you want this power just because it's sort of arbitrary power. Well, the answer to that question is no. No. Well, who gets on the list? How do they get on the list? You know what? I think the average person, average reasonable person, regardless of your political stripes, thinks that that's a, you know, even my most liberal friends have not come to me and said, oh, that dude's crazy, man. You know, no. They've said, yeah, we probably should ask that question of any president because, you know, because our beloved Barack Obama will not be president forever. Just saying. And there may not be a Democrat in the White House next time. And there may not be a Democratic-controlled Senate next time. At some point, it may all be R's across the board. And you know what? The Tea Party may show up and get a candidate. And then, well, yeah. Yeah. That's something you should worry about regardless of who's president. Does the president have right to kill you if you dissent? That's what it's about. Well, you would think that someone who's been in Congress as long as he's been in Congress and who's served his nation for as long as he's served his nation would get that point. But John McCain does not. There's a story on the LibertyNews.com site, my friend Dwayne Lester, that McCain calls Rand, Cruz, and Amash wacko-birds. Wacko-birds. You know what? He spent some time yesterday on the Senate floor basically saying that there wasn't any reason for it, that he didn't support the filibuster. You know, after he come back from having dinner with the president, because, you know what, I have never seen, and this is editorial for me, I have never seen a group of Republicans that so badly want to be liked by a president that hates them and hates everything they stand for. This is, again, we're back. You know, my son has this, excuse me for a moment, my son has this great thing about maturity and people that most people don't mature much beyond high school. This is a perfect case of the girl who wants to be liked by the popular girl so badly that she'll do anything. Even when everyone else told her, they hate you. They just have you around to use you. They don't like you. They're never going to like you. And the second they get a chance to dump you somewhere, they're going to do just that. John McCain, Lindsey Graham, Barack Obama is not reaching out to you. You know, Ron Johnson said something about that, in an interview after he participated in the filibuster for a while. But the idea is, let me help you, establishment Republicans. Barack Obama is not looking to reach out a hand at this point. He hates everything you say you stand for. He hates everything that I stand for. He hates the idea of self-determination. He hates the idea that we could be a self-governed people. He hates that idea. That is anathema to him. He hates his job in the next 3.5 years is to destroy the Republican Party. That's his job. That's his primary directive, to destroy the Republican Party. And you're helping him by this nonsense. Senator John McCain continued to attack the high-profile Tea Party Republican people in his own party, calling those who chose to stand with Rand wacko birds. They were elected. Nobody believed that there was a corrupt election. Anything else, McCain said. But I also think that when you know it is always wacko birds on the right and left, they get the media, they get the media megaphone. I asked McClain to clarify who specifically he was talking about, and he said Rand Paul, Cruz, Amash, whoever. In some issues, McCain sees himself as a fellow maverick, but on some issues, I think that it pisses McCain off having a maverick against John McCain, said a Paul advisor who asked to speak frankly in exchange that he not be identified. I think that Rand wants his way too much, like on the National Defense Authorization Act. But I don't think he thinks he's doing that. You know, that's the deal. Somebody, you know what, and Rush Limbaugh said this yesterday, as I was coming into the studio, I was listening to a little bit of Rush, which I hardly ever do, but he said part of this is that McCain and Lindsey Graham, those guys are jealous. You know, and I love the phrase that politics is show business for the ugly. And these guys are on their way out. And when you have people like Marco Rubio, people like Ted Cruz, people like Rand Paul, and others who are making a splash, who are standing up and it isn't just partisan. What happened on the other night for 13 hours was not partisan. It was American. And how someone who spent time in a Vietnamese prison doesn't see that, it saddens me. It saddens me the very same way that that Jesse Jackson Jr. has turned into what he's turned into after standing there and after being with Dr. King all that time and standing there on that balcony as life poured out of Dr. King, that Jesse Jackson Jr. has turned into what he's turned into. And that John McCain now, after being in Congress for 30-plus years, has turned into what he's turned into. Saddens me. Listen, we'll talk more about this on the other side of the break. Thanks so much for coming to the Liberty Newscast Midday Edition. We'll be right back right after these messages.
I'm a paramedic, and it may sound silly, but a lot of people are afraid to call me when they're experiencing chest pain, or to call 911 if they're with someone experiencing chest pain. You know why? Because they think it would be embarrassing if it were a false alarm. Instead, people risk permanent damage or death because they're afraid they might get a lecture. That's ridiculous. So if you have an uncomfortable pressure, fullness, squeezing, or pain in the center of the chest that lasts more than a few minutes, call me. If you have a pain that spreads to the shoulders, neck, or arms, call me. If you have any discomfort in your chest with lightheadedness, fainting, sweating, nausea, or shortness of breath, call me. If you have any of these symptoms or are with someone who does, dial 911 right away. And if it is a false alarm, I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'll be happy to see you. I would much rather treat someone who isn't having a heart attack than to try to save someone who is. To learn more about heart attack warning signs, call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA-1 or visit us on the web at AmericanHeart.org.
Buy a shotgun.
Joe Biden, remember this?
If you want to protect yourself, get a double-barrel shotgun. Fire two blasts outside the house.
Now Biden has more words of wisdom. He said to keep someone away from your house, just fire the shotgun through the door. Just fire the shotgun through the door? Whoa, Joe. Hope your neighbors call first before coming over. Instead of gun control, maybe President Obama needs Biden control. Biden and Obama, they don't understand self-defense, and they don't respect your rights.
Well, somebody could know what the hell that was, but anyway. Welcome back to Liberty Newscast Midday Edition. I guess I shouldn't have said that. We're going to extend the. We're going to go ahead and try to extend the program and get our time in. What you're probably going to get ultimately, just letting you know, is an edited show. We're going to pull this off, edit it, put it back together in a way that's coherent, hopefully, and hopefully coherent. And that's how we're going to do it. We're also going to do a Liberty Newscast Midday Edition Google group that is separate from this show today, and that way you can still have that way you also have both. There you go. Let me see here if we can go ahead and hit the old extend button. That's what they need, an extend button. And this part that you're hearing now, you probably won't hear tonight when I put this together. Let's see here. All right, because this is because some of the stuff here that, you know, I still think this is important. And I don't care if they're trying to get me. No. And, you know what? And that's what, you know, it's funny. That's what a lot of the, you know, the conservative folks will say, oh, they're trying to get you. They're trying to hack you. They're trying to hack the Lawson today on the thing. No, they weren't. they weren't, but it is a little distressing. But that's okay. It's okay. You know, we fight on. And what we don't do is give up. There you go. All right, let's see if we can go ahead and extend this to there. Rock and roll. There you go. How about that? You like that? I know you would. All right. Hit the that button. And again, what's going to probably happen tonight is that we're going to pull all this off, and you're going to get it and replace it with an edited show, and then because you know what, we could just leave it up here in a hot mess fashion that it is, but I won't. I just won't do it. All right, we're just about back, and you know what, and if you ask. And some of you are going to ask me what happened, and my answer is going to be to you, I don't know. It's like when I was at Florida State University, and the computer system would be crashing, and we'd go downstairs to the operator, and we'd say, well, you know, what happened? He'd go, I don't know, got squirrely, turned it off, turned it back on, seems fine now. Like really? Okay, he was a student too, so he didn't care. I mean, he was getting his $4 an hour. He couldn't care less. He just couldn't care less at all. So that's kind of what happened. Not that I don't care, but it's kind of immaterial, really. All right. All righty. We are good. Let's see here. There we go. All right. Listen, we're going to take a break, and we're going to start back with the Liberty News TV from today. Rand raises the roof.
Welcome to Liberty News TV. I'm Norval Rose. Kentucky Senator Rand Paul is the man of the hour. Actually, almost 13 hours. That's how long Paul's Senate filibuster ran. A filibuster against the nomination of John Brennan as CIA director and in serious question of the administration's position on domestic drone attacks. During the marathon talkabout, Paul was joined by other senators, including Cruz of Texas, Rubio of Florida, Lee of Utah. Even Mitch McConnell showed up for a few. The conservative side of Twitter and Facebook were exploding with support for Rand Paul. Stand with Rand trending big. And you know what? He may have just launched his presidential bid with the bold, spirited, Constitution-centered takedown of Eric Holder and the Obama regime. You can judge the success of Rand Paul's high-profile talkfest by just how loudly the lefty media is screaming about it. One reliably rancorous screamer, Chris Matthews, the hardball host claiming that anti-government hate groups must root for senators like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz. Anti-government hate groups? Well, if there were an anti-constitution hate group, Chris Matthews would be in their Hall of Fame. Here's a story that should make a few in the administration hang their heads in shame. Our new Secretary of State, John Kerry, and First Lady Michelle Obama are set to honor women of courage, one of whom is courageous enough to tweet hateful comments about Jews and the 9/11 attack on America. Samira Ibrahim has repeatedly issued vile statements about Jews dying and America burning from terror attacks. And yet the State Department will honor her. Our choice for presenting that honor, the newly celebrated statesman, Dennis Rodman. And did you see what Rodman's pal in North Korea, Kim Jong-un, is now saying? That he may just launch a preemptive nuclear strike against the United States. Way to go, Dennis. Finally, it's time to spotlight the sequester with
Sequester Outrage of the Day.
Republican leaders in the U.S. House have blocked an effort to amend the omnibus spending bill to make sure that with sequester spending cuts in place, President Obama does not use government money to fly back and forth for golf outings. Representative Louie Gohmert of Texas tried to put in that measure, which was ruled irrelevant by the GOP leadership in the House. We will now see whether voters in the future find that GOP leadership irrelevant. Staying relevant and robust, we are LibertyNews.com. Follow us online and on Twitter, where we're at Liberty protecting it. I'm Norval Rose. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Buy a shotgun. Buy a shotgun.
Joe Biden. Remember this?
If you want to protect yourself, get a double-barrel shotgun. It's fired two blasts outside the house.
Now Biden has more words of wisdom. He said to keep someone away from your house, just fire the shotgun through the door. Just fire the shotgun through the door? Whoa, Joe. Hope your neighbors call first before coming over. Instead of gun control, maybe President Obama needs Biden control. Biden and Obama, they don't understand self-defense, and they don't respect your rights.
All right, we're back with more of the Liberty Newscast Mayday Edition. My name is Willie Lawson, and it is an honor to be here amongst you today. You know, it's interesting that after this incredible filibuster attempt by Rand Paul a couple of days ago, that you know, we would have thought that the abuse, the yelling, the screaming, the rancor, all that would be coming from the left, like you heard on the Liberty News TV cast. You heard a little bit of that from Chris Matthews, of course. I mean, that's expected, truly expected. But what not expected was what happened later. What happened that John McCain on the Senate floor had to openly say, because I guess he had to please, as Chris Rock put it, his Lord and Master, his Savior, he had to go ahead and say out loud that, oh yeah, I'm against this because I don't know. Well, of course they weren't gonna do that. You know, I think it was crazy to think that you know, have people believe that the American government would attack them. And well, you know, the founders, John McCain, put in the Second Amendment because they thought that at some point that the government might become tyrannical, seeing that they had just left that same sort of tyranny. So So the founders, it was their idea. It wasn't Rand Paul's idea. It wasn't Ted Cruz's idea. It wasn't Marco Rubio's idea or Steve Elliott's or Eric Odom or Dwayne Lester or Willie Lawson's. It wasn't our idea. It was the founders' idea. Thus, the Second Amendment, John McCain, Lindsey Graham. But that was bad enough. But today, it continues. McCain says this. They were elected. Nobody believes that there was a corrupt election or anything else, McCain said. But I also think that when you know it's always the wacko birds on the right and the left that get the media megaphone. Like John McCain has not gotten the media megaphone whenever the heck he's wanted it. Well, the interviewer said, he asked McCain to clarify who specifically was he talking about. He said Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, and Amash, whoever, he said. So now he called out Ted Cruz and Senator, and the other Senator Rand Paul as wacko birds. Wacko birds. This could have been a shining moment for the GOP. The GOP so badly needs to win. They need to win not with independents right now, not with, quote, conservative Democrats, whatever the hell that is. That's not where the GOP needs to win. The GOP needs to win at home with its base so badly right now. So people can start to feel good about it. And I understand that people shouldn't, you know, and I'm not somebody who operates on my feelings. I am not someone who operates on my feelings. But the GOP so badly needs a win right now, an internal win inside its family that says, look at us, we're standing for something. Look at us, we're standing for something. Now, if you need a refresher on what the filibuster was about, it wasn't about Brennan. Please stop tweeting. Please stop hammering Marco Rubio. Please stop hammering the GOP senators about Brennan. This idea strategically that we can hold up every single nomination is not a win. What happened earlier in the week? That's a win. Well, I'll tell you. I'll explain how I got to that here in a little bit. Here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. Here's the deal. Here's how this is extremely important. Because a question was asked about the legality, the constitutionality of the president's domestic drone program. This is not the foreign drone program that's used in the theater of war, theater of combat. This is where the rules of engagement are completely different. This is a domestic drone program aimed against Americans on American soil. That ought to take the R's and the D's out of it. I'm talking about asking the question, and this is what Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, and et al., who participated in the filibuster, were asking. Do we have an answer from Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States, the Chief Law Enforcement Officer, and the White House, Barack Obama, President Obama, who is the head of the country. You know, Chris Rock says he's my mom and he's dad. He's our boss, according to Chris Rock. And Chris is wrong, by the way. He's a head servant. Do they believe that they have the authority by which to kill Americans on American soil without due process? That's the question. It wasn't about Brennan. That was the question that needed to be answered before Rand Paul would allow the vote. He'd already decided what he was going to vote. And so had Marco Rubio. He had already decided. This is what I'm saying. He'd already made that decision. But the question needed to be asked and it needed to be answered. That's what it was about. And that went off without a hitch. That was awesome. That was fabulous. Even people who are going to vote one way or the other were able to hone in on the question, stop the business of the Senate to get their question answered. The GOP was standing for something. They were cooperating. That was fabulous. It was a win. It was a great night. We're talking about out here, amongst us out here, we were enjoying it thoroughly. Thoroughly. Now John McCain and Lindsey Graham, because they weren't included, they were off having snacks with the press. They got to whine about it. We got a call from the 202. I think I know who it is. He was calling earlier. Hey, somebody from the inside the Beltway is calling. I don't know if we should answer the phone. Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello? Hello? Hang up.
What's going on, my man?
It's great talking with you, Willie. Listen, you are so on today. I swear, it's kind of like having the first five picks in the NBA draft and picking Manute Bol at each one of them.
That's awesome. That is I've never thought about it the way. That is awesome. We'll take Manute Bol, but you already have him. We'll take him again.
Listen, you're blessed. You come from a state with a great deal of winners. You know, in Washington, we're Washington, D.C., we haven't won anything for a long while, and it's apparently spread to the GOP. We just don't know how to win.
Boy, that's the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. I mean, you have victory right there, and then you take victory and you shove it in the mouth of defeat. Here, eat this.
I was one of the people who was up until like 1 in the morning watching him all through the end towards his 13 hours after I got off my show on Thursday night. And I have never been more proud of a conservative since probably the Reagan administration. Someone just standing up and saying, you know what, this just ain't right. This is a simple answer. We're either a dictatorial democracy or we're a constitutional republic. And your rights need to be protected by the Bill of Rights and not by the President of the United States. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
And my God, the ego on John McCain and Lindsey Graham is so tremendous that they refuse to allow anyone else to have press time or coverage. Now, mind you, Lindsey's never run for president, so as much airtime as he wants, he can get. You know, even though he's a failure each time he does it. But John McCain ran for office. He had an opportunity, and he lost.
Go away, John. Go away. Go away. Go away. You know, he's been in Congress for more than 35 years. Problem number one, and you know what? He's had his time in the spotlight. Hell, man, he spent 2 years in the spotlight. He's been
and lost
2 years and lost and got his head handed to him. Go away, man.
Listen, I was really embarrassed at 12:09 yesterday when John McCain entered the floor of the U.S. Senate at a time when he should have been, you know, parading at that point. That was the moment. That was the moment where you hand over the baton and you say, listen, I ran a good race. I fought a good fight. But these are the men who are going to take it from here. And he refused to let the baton go. And if anything, he set up, in fact, next week, CPAC is coming. He set up the absolute worst situation that could possibly happen in the GOP. Conservatives are coming to Washington, and they're going to have a meeting to say whether we wish to keep on walking with a team that keeps trapped in the new bowl.
Yeah, that's the truth. That is the truth. I mean, if nothing else from a strategic standpoint, Ken, that handing of the baton, that would have been such a fantastic moment leading into CPAC and again leading into 2014 as he handed the baton over to the young guns finally. I mean, we're talking about conservatives like Rand Paul and Ted Cruz, but even people who are, I don't want to call Marco Rubio a movement conservative because he isn't. But even to that level of the new Republicans that are in power, handing the baton off to the 30-somethings, how about that, to the 30 or 40-somethings, these are the women that are going to continue the fight that we started. You know what? And said, I am so proud of their drive. He could have done a complete 180. And you know what? I am telling you, GOP offices all over the country, their phones would have been lit up today. People wanting to help, people wanting to join, they would have been lit up. It could have been a seminal moment, and it could have been a great legacy for a guy who's been not much more than a loser his whole life.
Period. Listen. The bottom line is this: either the GOP wants to win or get up off the pot and start walking your way home. People want to win. People want something to believe in. We finally had someone for 13 hours on the floor. Did you know Tim Scott, the first black senator to participate in a filibuster? The first black senator.
I'm so proud I was able to see it. Yeah, I know. It's mind-numbing that Liz Graham and John McCain would just – I mean, here – and again, I always use this analogy, Ken. What Republicans normally do is we have this great meal and we serve it in a garbage can lid. But for 13 hours, we had a great meal on the finest china, and John McCain yesterday goes and takes a crap on it.
Don't leave Lindsey Graham out of this. Now, let me give you some inside things here. First and foremost, John McCain, jealous, egotistical, self-centered, and mostly ignorant. Lindsey Graham, 2014, knows he's going to be challenged by someone who's more conservative than he is in his race in South Carolina. So he's putting his finger in the eye of any conservative who wants to face him down. The other part of this story that's not really being talked about is that Speaker of the House John Boehner and Minority Leader Mitchell, who sneaked in the back during the filibuster so he could be seen, supporting the home team, of course, allowed their GOP rank and file to go to dinner with the President of the United States. Do you think Newt Gingrich would have let that happen?
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't. And the only person who went to dinner with him was Ron Johnson, and I interviewed him at the RNC. He just said because it was kind of funny, I just got back from dinner with the president, and then he got on the Senate floor, which I thought was kind of funny, and participated, which must have pissed Bo off amazingly. But you're right. I don't think the Newtster would have done that. The Newtster would have said, "We need to be here, folks.
Yeah,
we're going to go over there, and we're going to stay there for however long it takes, and be whatever assistance we can be. That's what we do, and that's how we do it."
The question is this: who's running the GOP?
You know what? That's a very good question. That's a very good question. You know what? I mean, you want to walk into this business and go, "Who's in charge here?" And everybody goes, "I don't know." It's like going to a tea party trying to find out who's in charge. Because I love my tea party people, but golly, nobody will admit to being in charge of any damn thing at a tea party rally. Who wants to know? But you're right. Who's in charge? Who's one person that says, "Hey, listen, this is how we do it"? Because it's not Rince Priebus. It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously,
listen,
it's not.
Exactly. And listen, Rens Priebus is doing all the esoteric things necessary for CPAC this year. He's got 10 black people speaking at CPAC, one of which is going to be Dr. Carson. I'm quite certain, you know, you put all those things together. But no one has the gall or the sensibility to pick up the phone and tell those rank-and-file GOPers, if you step foot into the Jefferson Hotel with the President of the United States, you will never get another dime going to your state, period. Now, that's something that Newt Gingrich would have done. That's something that Tip O'Neill would have done.
You betcha.
Now, that's true leadership right there, and we're not seeing it with the GOP.
No, the GOP, some people in GOP seem like, and I mentioned this before, I had this complete total technical meltdown, they seem to be like that teenage girl that wants to be liked by the other teenage girls. But
yes!
You know what I'm saying? But they hate her. They hate her. They invite her to stuff to embarrass her, but she keeps going. She keeps going. They humiliate her. They talk bad about her, but they always invite her. Why? Because she's fun to mess with.
Listen, would you do me a great favor, though?
I'll do it.
Because the savior of who was on Time Magazine of the GOP has got to stop riding the fence.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that you're with me and he supported the particular head of the Tea Party, Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul.
Mm-hmm.
We might as well call him the particular head of the Tea Party at this point, because everything's flowing in that direction at this point, and Cruz. But vote for Brennan and get with the gang of 10 or 12 or 14, however the FBI counts. And one of them, in fact, with the scandal under the Democrat guise of using campaign funds for personal privileges. Not that ever happens with a Democrat.
Never. Never. I can't even imagine.
Run, Jesse, run.
Run, Jesse, because your son is about to catch a run. Oh, my God. Jesse Jr. has thrown his wife out behind him.
Hey, baby, you on your own.
His own wife under the bus keeps him going to jail. Now, that is a sad man. I don't care what your politics is. If you are willing to throw your wife under the bus to keep you from going to jail, you are a sad individual.
You know I love you, baby. You know what? I'm going to visit you every week. Okay, baby? You know what I'm saying? But somebody got to go down.
You know what can be mean? Because I'm too pretty to go to jail.
My back would be against the wall all day long.
All the time. You know, some people are trying to hurt me. You love me, don't you?
But Rubio has to decide, which is he going to follow McCain or is he going to follow Rand Paul? His best option, follow Rand Paul. That's victory. I just wanted to say one other quick thing, because I'm so proud of what you do on a daily basis, reaching out to the media and everything else. I'm very sorry that you won't be here, because I've been looking forward just to hang out with you.
Yeah, I'm just. That's what I was gonna do. I was gonna just hang out. No, I was gonna.
Yeah,
I wasn't gonna.
Yeah,
hang out.
We're really working.
Yeah. The Gaylord Hotel is beautiful. This is a lovely place. I haven't been out of the lobby since I got here. No.
Are you a greeter?
Yeah, really. What's Starbucks in this joint? Yeah, I know that'd be me.
But I'm really, really hoping that you win that award, because you are deserving of that award, and you are a great leader. And I don't mean just host and every, you know, you know what you do. You do a darn good job at it.
Thank you.
Your numbers speak for themselves. But you are a great leader. And God bless you, sir, and keeping the conservative movement alive for all of us.
I appreciate that. I those are kind words coming from somebody who who himself is building a dynasty, and you're doing it right there in the lion's den, man. I can't even believe. I can't believe that you don't get this every day. Excuse me, Mr. Clinton, you in there?
I think that's John McCain. What you say, man?
My daddy said we ain't home.
Oh, man.
It's easy to do down here because we got alligators. And I'll come to my front door. I don't know how I got here. I really don't. But you're right about Marco. Marco is kind of a defense because he's a nice enough, he's a nice fun fella. He is living a purple life.
But so is Jeb Bush.
Yeah, exactly. They're living a purple life inside. Well, you know what? Had it not been for Jeb Bush, there'd be no Marco Rubio. Jeb decided once Charlie Crist lost his mind. And he did in front of everybody. It was the saddest thing ever. Lost his mind to say, okay, who do I pick? Yeah, you Rubio kid, here's some money. Here's a lot of money. I'm going to make you a senator, and I'll be doggone if he didn't do just that. And we all watched it happen. I was at a tea party gathering in Plant City, Florida, with 150 people in the rain, and the two big speakers were me and Marco Rubio. That's where Marco was. Because Marco would talk to a blind man and a crippled dog if they invited him back in the day. And that's where we both were. And then Charlie Crist had this meltdown because he's living a double life. Ooh, did I say that out loud? Oh, that's terrible. Anyway.
Is this live?
Not the kind of double life you think. It's completely different. That's terrible. I'm terrible. But he had to step down in front of everybody, and Jeb Bush basically said, yo, kid, here's some money. I'm going to make you a senator. And that's exactly what happened. But he's living in a purple state, living a purple lifestyle. Both of them are. But you're right. I think from a strategic standpoint, and let's just talk strategically. From a strategic standpoint, he's got to go to the Rand Paul side. He's got to go to the Ted Cruz side. And basically, he's got to walk away from Lindsey Graham. He's got to walk away from John McCain and I don't know, and for lack of a better term, the losers, because of the people what's the phrase? You show me a guy who doesn't mind losing, you know what I show you? Yeah, loser.
A loser. But one quick thing. The big story yesterday, if it wasn't for McCain and Graham, was that the Democrat living from Michigan is not running again. Michigan looks like it may be moving towards the red. That's the big story. But the GOP lost even on that one.
Yeah, you know, that's exactly. You know what? If you can turn Michigan, and I hate these terms, but they sort of define it. If you could turn Michigan purple, the biggest union state in the country right now.
Oh my God!
That's a win, and you know what? You do exactly what the Dems do. It's only kind of a partial win, but you treat it like you won the Super Bowl three times in a row. even if you had Archie Griffin, that didn't work out.
Oh my gosh!
You know, and you treat it like it's the biggest victory ever, and why? Because the base needs a win. As I was saying earlier, the base so badly on that night when we were watching. I'm watching Twitter. I'm watching all sorts of people from independents. I'm watching all sorts of people going, it's about time. It's about time. It's about time. Yes, 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 yes. You know?
You knew it was big when MSNBC went full time on a full time press. The liberals were scared to death. And now they're sleeping comfortably today.
Yes, they are. They said, oh, it was just only a couple of days. You see, we've got our operatives in there, and there you go. Now it's all over. Let's go back to let's go back to Casey Anthony.
Let's take him to dinner.
Yeah, let's all go to dinner. Yeah.
God bless, man.
so much for calling. I appreciate you, Ken. God bless, man.
Feel great.
All right. Listen, we got another call here, and from the 410, I think it's Chris. Welcome to the Liberty Newscast Midday Edition. What's going on?
What's going on, Willie?
Hey, it's good.
This is Ray calling from Baltimore.
Oh, welcome. How are things in the MD?
We got that Super Bowl victory fresh on our minds, so people are in generally good mood, you know.
I will tell you, I'm not a Ravens fan. I'm a Buccaneer fan, obviously, because I cheer the hometown team too. But I was really happy for the Ravens. Really happy for Ray Lewis, the last original Raven. That's good times. Good times. And of course, Flacco made out like a big dog, man. He's making more than any other player in the history of the NFL. That's got to be sweet.
he better himself. I guess that is the moral of the story.
Yes, he did. All right, what can we do for you today?
Well, I mean, I'm listening to everything you're saying about Rand Paul, and I definitely applaud him standing for his beliefs, but you know you got a problem, right?
Which problem is that?
You got a problem called the Military Commission Act. You familiar with that?
I'm not. Please inform me.
Military Commissions Act of 2006, which was signed by George W. Bush, and that was voted in to law by 53 Republican senators, there was only 12 Democratic votes going the other way, and 218 House Republicans, only 32 votes in support. And what that bill did is it gave the president the unilateral authority to name anybody he wants as an enemy combatant, to have mm-hmm. them arrested, to have them placed in a military prison, such as Guantanamo, to have them deprived of any sort of habeas corpus or Sixth Amendment right to counsel, and to have them held there until he damn well felt like letting them go.
And it wasn't theoretical
because we had a guy named Jose Padilla, who you can look up, who was born in Brooklyn, who was arrested and was thrown in a Navy brig for 3.5 years before he saw a trial.
And I understand, and believe me, Ray, I'm not gonna fight you on that. That's not because I think you're right. That's a problem too. But there's a difference between being arrested ostensibly and then being attacked by being attacked
well,
by
you,
thrown
not constitutionally. Not constitutionally is absolutely no difference. If you've given the president unilateral authority to strip your constitutional rights away, to throw you into a military brig, to expose you to enhanced interrogation
techniques, waterboarding,
for as long as he sees fit, whether you live or die through the process. I think that the distinction between that and giving the president the unilateral authority to strip you of life is a distinction without a difference. You're talking about the difference between being stabbed once and stabbed 12 times, and constitutionally, you're not talking about a difference at all.
Oh, well.
And so now you've got a Republican Party who passed into law the Military Commissions Act of 2006 to allow the president to point his finger at whomever he chooses and to immediately strip that person of every single constitutional right they have. And that was voted into law by a Republican Congress, signed into law by a Republican president. That's a big turd sticking in the middle of the story. And people haven't talked about it yet, but it is going to come up.
Well, no doubt it will. But by your own admission, at this point, it's as big a problem constitutionally as whatever answer Rand Paul was looking for. Now, is it? I mean, 2006. Obviously, I don't think Rand Paul was a senator in 2006. I'm looking at the scope of the law right now. To establish it's long and it's illegalese. Good God, that's something else that needs to change. So they need to start writing this crap in English for normal public school people like myself. But the idea though is that even if the Military Commission Act is part of the law, laws that get made don't necessarily have, if they're not challenged, they'll continue. I don't think it's a big problem in the sense that both things, by your own admission, are both incorrect. So it is
right, but you're talking about a party with a hypocrisy problem.
Well, tell me which party doesn't suffer from hypocrisy. I'll wait. Yes,
hypocrisy, but that's no answer. To tell me that it's okay that your son stole a candy bar because my son stole a candy bar last week is no response.
Well, both parties suffer from hypocrisy.
But you unilaterally passed into law this ability.
Even if that's true, and I believe that it is in all sorts of instances, that shouldn't immobilize people later on. If there's been a problem with a party or a company or an individual, that doesn't immobilize me from making a positive change later because of a hypocrisy that's happened before. That's not hypocrisy. If at some point, and this goes for anything, if I've screwed it up and now I'm trying to get it right, That doesn't necessarily make me a hypocrite. If I screwed it up and now I'm trying to get it right, that doesn't make me a hypocrite.
It is if you omit the fact that you screwed up. If you conveniently leave out that the whole reason Obama has this power right now is because of the laws that George Bush passed in 2006.
Nobody has omitted that. I haven't omitted that. Hang on, don't talk over me. I haven't omitted that at all. As a matter of fact, when you brought that to my attention, I said that's a problem. However, the idea still is that if I'm trying to get it right, if we have new people who are trying to get it right, why throw rocks at that effort? That doesn't make any sense to me. To throw rocks at an effort while someone is trying to get it correct, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, because it's one thing if you're trying to get it correct. It's another thing if you're challenging the motives of the Democratic Party for it being wrong when the person who put it into place was the Republican Party.
But you challenge the motives of your own party. That person's not in office anymore, by the way. I let everybody know George Bush has not been president for about 4 years now.
And we're still living with the legacy of his laws, and part of that legacy is this Trump program.
We're still living with the legacy of the laws of Eisenhower and Kennedy and Carter. We're always going to live with those legacies of those laws. None of that stuff goes away. We're still living with the legacies of the leadership of people like Tip O'Neill and Newt Gingrich. We're still living with all of that. So the idea of when someone looks at the situation and asks a question and the idea of getting it right, yes, it's really easy to start challenging people's motives because you can't see that. But you know what? But throwing rocks at somebody who's trying to fix a wrong, that's not productive.
You don't have an actual wrong. Nobody in the United States has been shot with a drone missile. Rand Paul was objecting to a theoretical problem.
Once somebody gets killed, now it's a problem?
Well, wait a minute. Let me finish my point, okay? Rand Paul was objecting to a theoretical problem that was never actually officially stated as a policy of the White House. I'm talking about, okay, is a realistic imprisonment of multiple Americans without charge, without access to a lawyer, without speedy trial, without habeas corpus, none of that. People put in jail for years.
Fifth Amendment rights stripped.
And during that whole time, Rand Paul was doing what? Had his mouth closed. He was in the country, was he not?
Well, I was in the country. You were in the country.
Okay, you were in the country, right.
And Barack Obama, was in the country.
And Barack Obama objected to the Military Commissions Act.
Nancy Pelosi and any number.
This argument of yours is not going to work. I told you there are only 32 32 Democrats in the House voted for the thing. I think only 12 in the Senate. So this was a complete Republican effort. Democrats were not for this, except for a couple of blue dogs. This was a Republican law signed into law by a Republican president.
Make your point. Why is this a problem now? I understand.
It's a problem now because of the hypocrisy of a party.
But you're still talking about hypocrisy of a party. You're still talking about this great thing. Forget that people are trying to ask this question now. See, you're forgetting. See, you're thinking that they're omitting the past sins of their brethren, and they may be omitting those past sins. But some of these people who are now people like Ted Cruz, people who are there now are asking a really important question. Maybe this could be, if treated correctly, the precursor to having some of these things overturned. Throwing rocks at trying to make things better and asking a question that it may be theoretical at this point is not productive. It's just not productive.
You want to move past the years of calling Democrats and liberals treasonous traitors and sympathizers of terrorists for challenging all these laws. You want to move past all that? How convenient for you?
Stop. I have never called anybody anything. Now, if you want to call the GOP and yell at Rince Priebus about that, you're welcome to. Willie Lawson has never called anybody treasonous, anybody ever. You're talking to the wrong person. I don't get paid by GOP. I don't get nothing. Let me tell you a quick story. I ran as a Republican for County Commission. You know what I got from them? Bumpkins, dickus, nothing. So I'm not carrying water for anybody. Let me help you with this. I'm not carrying water for anybody. So if you're going to go back and talk about how they call people stuff and you want me to defend it and you want to have that discussion, this is over, Ray. Call them. Call them. Talk to them about that. Because it wasn't me. I ain't never said anything like that. All I've gotten from establishment Republicans, even running as a Republican, is dickus. None. Zero. So let's have that discussion with somebody else. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden you trouble had speaking, understanding?
Understanding trouble? Have you sudden have or speaking someone ever confusion?
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
If you or someone you know has any of these symptoms, don't wait. Call 911 immediately. You could make a difference in someone's life, someone you love, maybe even your own.
It's late until, wait, don't too.
Don't wait until it's too late. Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone. At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here just like they did over there. So now, I'm never alone. I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill
or VA hospitals,
managing the transition home, or meeting people you can share stories with,
you'll find it at IAVA.org. Even if it's just everyday stuff. Like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say
sweater?
That?
Really?
What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Willie Lawson, and I'm the host of the Willie Lawson Show here on Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio Network. It is great to be here today on independent media, such as Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio Network. I want to talk to you for a second about you supporting this endeavor. Now, you know what? The folks at Fox, they have sponsors, multi-million dollar sponsors. You know, with enough sponsors, they make millions and millions of dollars a year. So you know what? They're fine doing what they do. But those of us here in independent conservative media need your help. So if you're willing to help, and if you understand the importance of independent conservative media, right now go to WillLawsonShow.com and click on the donate button at the top of the page. I'll appreciate it, and your country will appreciate it. Thank you ever so much.
All right. Welcome back to Liberty Newscast Midday Edition. The Military Commission Act of 2009, which amended the Military Commission Act of 2006, was passed to address the concerns of the U.S. Supreme Court. In Bonamadine versus Bush 2008, the court ruled that the Military Commission Act of 2006 was unconstitutional in suspending the right of detainees to habeas corpus. The court ruled that the detainees had the right to access federal courts to challenge their detentions. Formally, the amended act is titled, 13 of the National Defense Authorization Act for fiscal year 2010. On December 3rd, 2009, Carol Rosenberg of Miami Herald reported on a hearing before Lieutenant Colonel Nancy Paul, the presiding of the Military Commission for U.S. versus Al-Qusay. She wrote that Paul was the first presiding officer to address the implication of the new act. Paul ruled that the prosecution could not use the new act to place additional charges against the Sudanese captive Abraham Al-Qusay. But anyway, here's the deal. So in 2009, the NDA came out, and there was a problem with that, and there is still a problem with that. But this whole idea of that when somebody tries to repair something, you go back and go, well, your people said before, now you're hypocrites. Well, you know what? That's not helpful. It's not productive. It's not productive, and it didn't, and it doesn't make any sense. Again, for Rand Paul to stand up in the Senate, you know, in the Senate, and say, "Well, you know what? We passed this. You know, and we're really sorry, but we're trying. You know what? That's silly. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense." You know what? And I was trying to deal with the caller in a sense like, okay, I'm not going to fight you on this. I'm not saying, now that I have some background, I'm not saying that was right. But when someone tries to correct an error, and all you can think is as long partisan lines, then you are already closing the door off to improvement of our situation. You're already closing the door. The best thing about what happened during the filibuster was that more than one person kept saying, this is not an R thing, this is not a D thing. Tim Scott said, this is not a liberal thing, it's not a conservative thing. It's an American thing. You know, it's interesting that a lot of times when the Patriot Act showed up, conservatives who had a problem with things like the Patriot Act. It was conservatives that had a problem with the Military Commissions Act. It was conservatives that had a problem with that. Conservatives. It was one of the things that sparked the Tea Party movement. These kind of things sparked the Tea Party movement under a Republican president. That's the part, that's a little turd in the story that the left doesn't want to tell. That's the turd in the story, that it was conservatives that had a problem with the Military Commissions Act of 2006. It was conservatives that had a problem with the Patriot Act. That's the turd in the story the left doesn't want to tell. Would I call you hypocrites? Well, shoe fits. But again, if you're going to call here and say, well, you know what, you guys, I'm not you know what, it ain't you guys. You can go ahead. If you got a problem with Republicans, call Renz Priebus. If you got a problem with Democrats, call Denise Wasserman Schultz. Debbie Wasserman Schultz is her name. I'm sorry. I don't want to screw her name up. Call them. Call them. Their numbers are published. Call them. If you got a problem with Republicans, call your local Republican that was there at the time and yell at them. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. But anyway, Ken was right. Ken was on, the first caller was on, his name is Ken McClendon. Ken McClendon is the host of the Electrical Conservative Show on here on Blog Talk Radio. Fantastic gentleman out of Washington, D.C. Just awesome, amazing, fantastic, smart, great thing. Go to the Exceptional Conservative website and you can get when their show is on and you can get past shows. It's fabulous, 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 I tell you. All right, listen, you know what? We got to go one more story. We got to do one more story before I get out of here. And this story is not political in a sense, but it is an interesting and disturbing story. In New York, 80% of the graduates from the New York City schools can't read. Now, I know that's one of those things. Oh, it's hyperbolic. Of course they can read, Willie. They wouldn't be able to get through high school if they couldn't read. Well, Let's see if I can run this audio. I'm not having good luck with audio running today.
Hey, how come you guys never have a sale on gas?
Okay, well, let me turn that off. And this little commercial, we'll turn that off, but because they're not paying me, so screw them. You know, that's the idea, though. The idea is that these people who are graduating from in New York City high school, when they get to the borough of Manhattan Community College, 80% of them are having to take remedial courses. In basic stuff. Amazing.
So while we begin here at 5:30 with an education bombshell, nearly 80% of city high school graduates need to relearn basic skills before they can enter the city's university's community college system.
Yeah, the number of kids behind the eight ball is the highest in years. Here is CBS2's political reporter Marcia Kramer.
When they graduated from city high school, students in a special remedial program at the Borough of Manhattan Community College couldn't make the grade.
Well, how's it going?
They had to relearn basic skills, reading, writing, and math first, before they could take college courses. They are part of a disturbing statistic. Officials say nearly 80% of those who graduate from city high schools arrived at City College's community college system without having mastered the skills to do college-level work. In sheer numbers, it means that nearly 11,000 kids who got diplomas from city high schools needed remedial courses to relearn the basics.
All right, so you've gone to the conclusion.
To meet the needs of the students, City University has launched a special program called CUNY Start. It provides low-cost immersion classes, Sherry Mason teaches a writing class.
They get lost sometimes in the classroom, and at CUNY Start, we give them a lot more one-on-one attention, small group work, mm-hmm. and it helps them achieve more in a shorter amount of time, and so they're able to get on with their credit classes.
Nicholas Gonzalez, a graduate of New Utrecht High School in Brooklyn, participated in the CUNY Start program. He says he would never have been able to face college credit classes without it.
I was nervous about how hard it was going to be, how much of a big change it was going to be from high school. I knew I needed to take remedial, but I started right away with credit classes. I knew it wasn't going to be so well, so it's better off starting somewhere.
In its defense, the City Department of Education says it's raised high school graduation rates by 40% in the last 7 years, and that the number of students needing remedial courses to do college work has declined slightly by half a percentage point overall. Maurice?
Thank you, Marcia.
All right, let's talk about the numbers here. This is why you can't be stupid and live in this country. You just can't be. If they say they have raised graduation rate by 40%, and the number of people who need remedial classes is only up by a half a percent. Let me go ahead and go to the calculator. I love the calculator. The calculator is my friend. Oh my God. Here's your effectiveness in that category. 0.01%. 0.01%. It's been no effect. All they've been doing is passing kids. That's all they've been doing is passing kids. It's finding ways to pass kids to get their graduation rate up. You know, it's interesting. I'm originally from New Jersey, and now living here in Tampa, Florida, since I was like 7. And you know what? And I hear constantly from people around the country, oh, the schools in Florida suck, man. Schools in Florida suck, man. They suck. Man, it's better in New York, man. Better in New York. It's harder, man. Well, I guess not. You know who I haven't heard from in this story? That's available on the LibertyNews.com site. You know who I haven't heard from in this story? I haven't heard from the unions. Where are the unions? Where's the NEA? Where's the American Federation of Teachers? Where are they in this situation? Why aren't they sending people down there to find out how come 11,000 students in the New York City schools can't freaking read at the college level? When they get out of 12th grade, they can't go to level 13. They can't go to community college. These are people that they're trying to send to Yale or Harvard or MIT. They're trying to send them to the local community college, and they don't measure up to local community college standards. How come? Where's the American Federation of Teachers? Where's the NEA? Where's the Federal Department of Education? Where are they? Well, I know, because they've already been there. Yeah. They've already been there. They've already had their fingers in the pot. They've already protected all those teachers that suck, who don't care, who don't like those kids. They've already protected them. Hey, listen, I spent 15 years in the public school system. You know, it's amazing that there are teachers who are teaching right now today as we sit here who don't even freaking like the kids. How the heck can you teach them if you don't like them? That you don't respect them. You don't care about them. If they struggle, they struggle, kids. And that's what we're dealing with, folks. Yeah, they've got every program in the world except, I don't know, math, English, social studies, science, and teachers that give a crap. But they've got happy teachers. That's important. You got to have happy teachers and happy administrators. You got to have that. You have people who are well paid. You have to have administrators who are well paid. You have to have your union rights. But do you have to have kids who can read? Who can write? I'm thinking that's first. And it's always an embarrassing thing when your little secrets get out. When your little secrets that a lot of people aren't doing their job.
and other people are having to pick up the slack at the other end. Always a dirty little secret. Always kind of a bummer, isn't it? Well, New York City school system, here's my advice to you from Liberty Newscast and me personally, Willie Lawson. Fire every high school principal starting today. Because you need a little shakeup and you giddy up. Fire every single one of them. Make them reapply. And that way, from the top down, you can comb out the dirt and the dankness of your failure. This isn't the failure of 11,000 kids. This is the failure of an institution. And those in charge of the institution are at fault. Listen, this has been a Liberty Newscast Midday Edition. My name is Willie Lawson. It's been kind of a weird one. I don't know how I'm going to put this together. I'm not sure. I don't have any earthly idea. We may leave it up. I'm not sure. But in any case, go out there and have a fantastic weekend. And just like always, go out there and learn something, love somebody, and for goodness sakes, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, take care of yourself. Thank you, Ken. Thank you, Ray, for calling. We'll talk to you all on Monday. Bye-bye now.
Now, if Congress allows this meat cleaver approach to take place, it will jeopardize our military readiness. Border Patrol agents will see their hours reduced. FBI agents will be furloughed. Federal prosecutors will have to let criminals go. Thousands of teachers and educators will be laid off.
This is the end.
I'm not here to scare people. I'm here to inform.
Obama says if we don't spend.
I don't think we can maintain the same security.
Democrats, they will not bend.
These cuts are not smart.
Budget cuts, they are.
Add hundreds of thousands of Americans to the unemployment rolls.
Kids will die if we don't spend.
They are not fair. They will hurt our economy.
China knows we owe them.
People will lose their jobs.
From future kids we stole.
Buy a shotgun.
Let the sky fall. Let it crumble.
$170 million jobs could be lost.